What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I am Will Brinson. I am your host. This is CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. Man, we have turned the corner. We are hurtling towards the draft. The offseason is in full swing. Free agency's rolling along. I hope you enjoyed the free agency shows. It was fun bringing them to you. I mean, like, I'm not even kidding. I'm not, like, trying to brag or anything. We put a lot of effort in those, a lot of energy. So I really do hope you enjoyed them. If you did, let us know. First of all, you can let us know in a review. Go on iTunes, leave a review. 5-star rating, preferably. 4-star if you just like the show but don't love it. 3-star if you're a jerk. You can tweet me at Will Brinson. You can tweet at Ryan Wilson CBS, at John Breach, at Sean J. Wagner. We did all the shows together throughout the week. If you liked them, tweet us and let us know, because I think everybody appreciates hearing compliments. We'll get to the news in a second, and then we will do the first part of a 3-part mock draft conducted by myself, Ryan Wilson, RJ White, and Tom Fornelli. We did it, we recorded it all in one session on Sunday night. We'll drop it in 3 parts over the next 3 days. I'll update you with any news or stuff that goes down, of course, as part of an intro. So, if you want to fast forward to the mock draft part, by all means, fast forward. I mean, I won't be offended. Won't love it. But before you do that, you should make sure that you help win your bracket. You want to win your bracket. You're going to be filling out a bracket in the next 3 days. And the only way to do that is to go to Sportsline to get your office bragging rights secured. Last year, Sportsline's optimal bracket finished in the top 5% of all CBS sports brackets, called Villanova winning it all. And they had an upset bracket that correctly predicted 12 of 18 first-round upsets by double-digit seeds over the past 3 years. That's really good. That's hard to do. So go to sportsline.com/brackets, use promo code touchdown, and you're going to get your first month of Sportsline for just $1. That's promo code touchdown at sportsline.com/brackets. The big news, of course, out of the weekend, I think, right? Actually there's multiple big stories. Kareem Hunt was suspended. I forgot, Friday feels like a year ago. Kareem Hunt suspended 8 games by the NFL, can return for the second half of the Browns season. I actually think this is a pretty big win for Kareem Hunt to only get 8 games, because it looked like when you read the release from the NFL and you see that there were multiple incidents in which he was being disciplined for. This is not just the hotel incident that we saw on video. There were multiple incidents in which Kareem Hunt was being punished for by the league, that the league looked into. He quote unquote only got 8 games. It could have been a lot worse, man. And I don't think there's any answer as to what number of games is acceptable for, allegedly wrongful behavior. And I think Kareem Hunt actually in this case, there's no allegations. He's come out and apologized and said he's in the wrong and he's seeking help and all that. It's one of those weird situations where the NFL wants to make sure they punish somebody enough. Kareem Hunt's not appealing, so it's going to be locked at 8 games. So the NFL sort of wins the PR battle there. They don't want to look like they're taking it easy on somebody like Kareem Hunt. They want to make sure that, he is punished severely enough for his actions. And I think they probably found a nice middle ground, but certainly given multiple incidents, Kareem Hunt could have been suspended longer. This is good news for Nick Chubb fantasy owners. He will be a first round pick. You will be able to start him. It means Duke Johnson won't be traded, and it means that Kareem Hunt will probably come back for the second half of the season. The Browns' 9th game, we will see, how much they use him. I would assume they ease him in, but certainly I would expect him to be a pretty critical part of their theoretical playoff push, which is not something you're used to saying about the Browns. The other big news on Friday, we saw Ryan Tannehill traded to the Tennessee Titans, creating some issues on both sides of the ledger here in terms of the quarterback situations. For starters, there's the obvious, concern, I think, if you're a Titans fan, is Marcus Mariota the guy? Nobody knows. I mean, we don't know if Mariota is is the answer at quarterback. We know that he is a good and talented quarterback, but we don't know if he's the future there for Tennessee. They certainly haven't extended him, so I think it's fair to wonder if he is the answer. I don't know that Ryan Tannehill is the answer, but they're getting him cheap. It's a 1 year, $7 million deal, with incentives that playing time could push it above that. But certainly for Tannehill, you're looking at a situation where he is a big, big upgrade over Blaine Gabbert. He's a very similar player, I think, to Marcus Mariota, not just in the way that they actually play on the field, but you know, with the styles you see, their tendencies, their accuracy, et cetera. And so I think from that perspective, this is a good move by Tennessee. It's expensive to give a 2024th round pick for him, but you're getting a backup back that you trust. And if Mariota struggles or he gets hurt, you can plug Tannehill in there and you can win some games because you're not winning a lot of games with Blaine Gabbert. So I think that's a big win for the Tennessee Titans in that respect. I like the move from the Dolphins' perspective too. Getting a fourth round pick for a guy you were about to cut, that's a great deal. And believe me, the Dolphins were definitely cutting Ryan Tannehill. They were not going to keep him around unless there was just no other quarterback options on the open market. So they got a fourth round pick next year for him on a team that is clearly rebuilding. That's not a bad deal at all. And then they went out and signed on Sunday Ryan Fitzpatrick, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, former Buffalo Bills quarterback. He's been all over the place. Jets quarterback, Titans quarterback. He's played everywhere. The deal is a 2 year deal. I think it's upwards of like $20 million total, or maybe it's $11 or $12 million. I don't know. Something huge. But it's based on incentives. We'll see how he does. It's a good signing for the Dolphins. They didn't need to invest a first round pick in the middle of the first round on a rookie quarterback. What they need to do is to get a guy that can give them some wins, make it so they're not tanking, help people grow a little bit in terms of their young players, and also get in a situation where they can hope that they're developing some guys and win some games. You don't want to completely tank. So from that perspective, I like the signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill is reportedly under investigation for alleged battery. That is a very serious charges that are coming out of that. We will see exactly how that goes, but certainly, hearing that on the same day that Kareem Hunt was suspended, that is concerning. I would anticipate that. I mean, not that they're on the same team, but remember they were drafted by John Dorsey. We'll see exactly what the Chiefs do with that. I would assume that they have to sort of slow play. Like they don't, they got to make sure that he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, they dropped Kareem Hunt within, hours of the situation where he was involved in. And now they have a decision to make on Tyreek Hill. Max Unger, Saints 3-time Pro Bowl center, retired after 10 seasons. It's really a big loss. That was a great trade for them. They traded away Jimmy Graham and they got Max Unger and picks, high pick. And that ended up being a really good deal for them. And the Saints have been very good. Eli Manning got his $5 million roster bonus over the weekend, which means he'll be back in 2019. Very exciting. Who doesn't love that? Johnny Manziel signed with the AAF, headed to Memphis. Big deal for Memphis to land Johnny Manziel there. I would anticipate that he ends up generating some stories for the world to watch. Steelers signed Mark Barron. It's a pretty big signing there, too. He could help them out at linebacker, of course, drafted in the first round as a safety, but has since transferred over. We'll see how that works out for the Steelers, but clearly they're a team that needs to get better at the linebacking position. As we mentioned, Blake Bortles, or Ryan Fitzpatrick signed. Blake Bortles is visiting the Rams. Might be the backup behind Jared Goff. I don't hate that. I like the investment. The Rams need to go out and invest in a backup quarterback. I like that. It's a good move. I can see that potentially working out okay for them. So I don't mind that at all. And then Jerry Jones thanked the Browns for trading for Odell Beckham. Glad to see him out of the NFC East. So that's don't blame him. Everyone should thank him. I'm not sure why the why the Giants did that, but they did it. And now they're going to have to fill the roster void in the draft, which reminds me, we got a mock draft to talk about. So let's get to it. That's the news for the week. We'll be back tomorrow doing the same thing, two parts. So we're going to do picks 1 through 10 today, picks 11 through 20 tomorrow. picks 21 through 32 on Wednesday. And then as news pops up, we'll be working on that, of course. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you as always. You guys are the best. Talk to you, after this break, and then I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, welcome to part one of our Mock Draft Monday, spreading it out over 3 days, actually. Joining me now and for the next 2 days, we'll split it up. We're recording it all at once, obviously, in case you didn't realize that. Myself, CBS Sports NFL draft expert Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports college football writer Tom Fornelli, and CBS Sports senior draft editor RJ White.
How you doing?
Did I get the titles correctly? Was that right, Tom?
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you senior drafter, senior college football writer? What are you? What's your?
I have no idea what my title is. I'm just the guy they have write things.
I write stuff, Ryan.
Yeah.
Your title I got correctly, I believe, right?
Yeah, I don't refer to myself as an expert. I cover the draft. But if you want to call me an expert, I'll take it.
Well, you got to promote yourself. I know I taught you that.
Yeah, that's why you're the senior NFL writer of and head of operations for Ion Football.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and
right.
Worth pointing out, I noticed this the other day because you were begging for one. You got it. You got your blue check mark on Instagram. Way to go on that.
I did. I had to send Gabe Rose, our director of social. I had to ship him my copy of my driver's license to get it done. But my wife is mad. She was very mad. She's like, I have more followers on Instagram than you do. This is garbage.
I love that you sell yourself for a copy of your driver's license. That pretty much says all you need to know about Will Brents.
I would have lobbed off my pinky finger and put it in the mail to Gabe if he needed a fingerprint. You can follow me on Instagram at Will Brinson. You can follow these guys on various social media stuff. We'll get to it throughout the show. If you got a good question about the picks, let us know. Here's how we're doing it. We're breaking it down. I'm drafting for Oakland. We're doing it by team. Like, we're splitting them up. So Ryan has the Cardinals and the Buccaneers and Buffalo.
So it's worth pointing out. So RJ sent out the list. There are four of us here. So, we each get the first four picks, but we had trades. I refuse to take part in trades because you guys are degenerate. So
we did a lot of trades. We banged out this draft in 30 minutes too, which is pretty good. Oh, I thought you were going to continue. Yes.
We made some trades, so some people pick back-to-back, but I'm sure we'll announce it as we go. Just so if you're wondering why we're sort of in random orders because of the trades that took place during the email chain.
Right. Well, we wanted to simulate a real mock draft, and we involved multiple parties, myself, Tom, and RJ, who are degenerate sports fans enough to the point that, like once Tom and RJ were involved in the draft, I knew there would be trades. Like, there was no way we were going to construct this draft without trades, right, RJ?
Yeah, I do my mock, every 2 weeks. You and I alternate on Wednesdays putting our mocks out. And each time my mock comes out, I have at least, six or seven trades because every time we get to an NFL draft, there's six or seven trades, at least. So if you want to simulate what a draft's going to look like, you have to include some trades.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Okay. Well, let's, with that in mind, let's dive on in. Ryan, you mentioned you didn't trade, but that you were on the clock first overall, and you are the Arizona Cardinals, one of your teams. I don't think we need to let people know what teams we have, first. So we'll just dive straight in. You are the Arizona Cardinals. What are you doing with the number one pick?
Quickly, I'm looking at the email chain Friday when we did this. We started at 5 p.m. We were done by 11:30. Yeah. And I'll be honest, at around 10 o'clock, I just set my alarm for every 20 minutes to check my email because I may or may not have fallen asleep.
That is the most washed thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But very respectful of his peers, unlike you, who would take 2 weeks off and not tell anyone. So with the first overall pick, don't make faces, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray. No real surprise there, I don't think, at this point, which is insane to say, given that they have Josh Rosen and we've talked about it to death. But I think Cliff Kingsbury, who tore it up at Texas Tech last year, you can never say that without laughing, is now suddenly getting his quarterback. And I don't know what to do with Josh Rosen. Hopefully the Giants come to their senses and make a bid for him. Because as we just learned as we're recording this, the Dolphins have their quarterback in the future. We can talk about that later.
Indeed they do. They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's got, apparently, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, and they signed him on Sunday. You're sort of, yeah, we've already talked about that because that's the news portion of the program that kicks off the beginning of the podcast. But, yes, they have Ryan Fitzpatrick, $11 million contract that can spike up to $20 million. Why wouldn't you want to give Ryan Fitzpatrick $20 million? Do you think that Josh Rosen is on the Cardinals roster in June?
Not in June. He'll be there till right before the draft, I feel like, because you don't want to, if something happens with Kyler, you never know. But I think maybe draft night, the Giants decide to trade for him, because the more and more you hear from people near the Giants, they're not taking a quarterback at number six, which blows my mind given the current state of things over there. But maybe Josh Rosen is an option. Maybe they're going to target one in the second round. I know we have one maybe or maybe not going in this draft. We'll find out. But
yeah. It's also smokescreen season. Like, I wouldn't trust anything anybody says right now. This is the perfect time you throw anything out, because if you're the Giants and you do want a quarterback, you want to make teams think that you don't want a quarterback so they don't have to trade over you to get it. Like, if you're the Broncos and you're looking at a guy like Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray, if he were to fall, you think you can trade to eight to get him, that's fine. You know, if the Giants, you think the Giants want him, you have to trade to five or four, you know, to get up there. So it's in the Giants' best interest to make people think they don't want a quarterback if they do. I'm not saying they do want a quarterback, but it's smokescreen season for a reason. That's why we consider it that.
RJ, is it in the Giants' best interest to say they're going to keep Odell Beckham and then sign him to a big deal and then trade him? That's Look, the only reason I'm confused.
That's like, the plan. You have to have a plan and you have to stick to it. If that plan is signing Odell Beckham to an extension, then trading him, like that, just go with it.
I was going to say, if there's any front office in the NFL I trust to outsmart anybody right now, it's the New York Giants.
Right.
RJ, did Ryan draft Kyler Murray too quickly, or were you trying to make some sort of offer at any point for Josh Rosen? As the Giants GM, I believe you were, because you and I swapped later.
Yeah, I was the Giants GM. I wasn't really thinking about Rosen. I think that if the Cardinals do take Murray, you know, number one, I don't think a trade's going to happen during the first round. I don't think it'll involve a first round pick. I think once, you know, teams are focusing on what they're going to draft, the prospects they've marked up on their board, who they're looking at. And once the dust settles and you get through, you know, Thursday night, that's when the calls start happening. Then maybe something comes together Friday morning before you get into round two and he's traded for a second round pick. So we'll see what happens at the end of this first round. Then you can think about the teams that he might go to.
Okay. Second up in our mock draft was you, RJ, and you were the San Francisco 49ers. You're John Lynch. What you doing?
Yeah, this is a slam dunk pick. If Kyler Murray goes number one, you got to take Bosa. I know they just got D Ford and he's going to help the pass rush. You can never have too many pass rushers. You know, you look at the teams that have been successful, it's because they have so many rotational guys. Nick Bosa isn't a rotational guy. He can play on all three downs. You can move him around the line if you want. You can put him inside and rush from the interior and, you know, next to D Ford. And good luck trying to defend that if you're a offensive line with some weak tackles on one of your side, weak guards. So yeah, I think they got to do that. I think they're praying Kyler Murray goes number one, either to the Cardinals or in a trade up, because Bosa is just an easy pick for them to make.
Number three. Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's a slam dunk. Number three, Tom, you are Mike Maccagnan. Congratulations on your, all your success. You smell terrific, in the words of Ace Ventura. What are you doing at number three?
I'm taking the best player in this draft who is still on the board. I'm taking Alabama defensive lineman Quinnen Williams, who, as I said, I believe he's the best player in this draft. It's just with the way of positional value in the NFL draft, quarterbacks and edge rushers are always going to have a higher value than the guy, you know, the interior lineman at this point. But I still think that he's effective as a pass rusher from the middle of the line, and he's very good at stopping the run. And I think that it's not a huge need for the Jets, but the talent and the ability of him and what he can do for them in the future, I think they just won't pass on if he's still there at three.
Okay. So you would take Quinnen Williams over Nick Bosa then, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
If they were both on the board for, like, even if you're the 49, I mean, the 49.
I would take Quinnen Williams if I was the Cardinals.
Wow.
He's going to be the best player in this draft.
Wow.
He's not going to go number one, but I would take him over everybody else in this draft just based on the odds of them being a, like, all-pro type NFL player.
Okay, that's spicy.
Plus, the Cardinals, they have Corey Peters in the middle and Kimdiche. How do you say his name? I can't remember.
Robert Kimdiche, yes.
And Kimdiche hasn't really set the world on fire. You have Chandler Jones. He did. Quinnen Williams there makes a ton of sense.
He did fall out of a building one time. So you get that for
me. Yes, he fell off a balcony.
I actually think that there's a case that Quinnen Williams could go one. Like, I don't think it would be that shocking if.
That's what Tom just said.
No. Tom said he should go one. He said he doesn't think he will. I'm saying.
No, I don't think he will, but I think that he's the best player in the draft.
I could see, look, I think the Cardinals, a decent chance the Cardinals are smoke screening like crazy on Kyler Murray, as RJ pointed out, and I think that there's a good chance that they would take Quinnen Williams instead of Nick Bosa.
What benefit do they have to smoke screen if they're going to stay at number one and take someone else?
They want to trade
down. Get somebody to trade up.
You're trying to bait the Raiders into trading, you know, four plus.
I get that, but if you stay there, you're just wasting time.
Well, yeah, but you try to build up your trade value.
We're doing a fake 32 pick mock draft. We're a month out. Everybody's just wasting time right now.
How dare I question what people do with the time? Fair point. All right. My only thing is, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're doing all this arm waving about, we definitely want this quarterback, Kyler Murray, and then you don't trade down, you're just blowing smoke for sake of blowing smoke. But again, that's
welcome to the draft season. All right. I am the New York. No, I'm the Oakland. I have John Gruden and Mike Mayock. Hell yeah, this guy feels good. And I got a little phone call from a high pants wearing guy in New York named Dave Gettleman, and he said, "Hey, listen, I know I got to do something to distract people from this Odell Beckham trade. You want a deal?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. I don't know who I'm going to pick at number four. I don't really love this Josh Allen kid, so I will trade down." RJ. This is a little controversy out of the gate. You thought you hosed me. I feel like it was a pretty decent swap. I gave you number four overall and number 24 overall and number 196 overall. That's a sixth round pick. And then you gave me in return number six and number 17. So the Giants and the Raiders shake it all up in this draft.
Yeah, you know, the reason I do think that it's I hosed you in this is because there's three blue chippers to me, and I'm not trading up for Dwayne Haskins. You know, I'm sure as Giants fans heard this trade up, they're like, "Oh, here we go with this Dwayne Haskins stuff." No, there's three blue chippers. You got Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Allen. You might not be in love with Josh Allen. I think he's the perfect fit for what the Giants want to do on defense. He can rush with his hand in the dirt. He can stand up and rush. He can peel off and play some coverage. And you give that kind of guy to Becton, I mean, he can do all sorts of things with him. All of a sudden, your pass rush isn't looking so bad after getting rid of Olivier Vernon. So I don't think dropping from 17 to 24 is that big of a difference in terms of talent that's going to be available. Maybe, you know, there's a guy that I could have got at 17 that I would have rather had than who I ended up with at 24. But in terms of going from 6 to 4 and getting that last blue chipper that I think is on the board, I think there's a pretty big drop off with the next guys after that. So I think it's a great deal to go up and get Josh Allen here for the Giants.
Okay. Are you 100% convinced that Josh Allen is going to be a blue chip prospect? I mean, like that he's going to be an effective player at the next level? I just have concerns that we've seen, not that he's Bud Dupree 2.0, but, and I mean, Tom, maybe you can speak to this too. I mean, like as somebody who watches college all the time, but I don't know, just Josh Allen feels a little concerning to me for some reason.
I mean, I think Josh Allen's an NFL player. I don't know if he's going to be an NFL superstar or anything. I mean, the one thing about him that kind of concerns you is that he really only has one full season of like actual production at the college level. He had a couple, you know, he was good as a freshman and a sophomore, but it was this year he just kind of blew up and had an amazing season. It's Kentucky overall, that defense had an amazing season, and I feel like he was the main benefactor of it. But he's got the talent. He's a very good player. I don't know if I'd consider him blue chip as much as I would consider him a, if we were doing it in college football recruiting terms, I would say he's a high 4-star, not a 5-star.
RJ, your counter? No, you don't have to counter. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm not going to say he's completely bust proof. I just think that he fits the Giants, what they do well. And yeah, I think your floor for him is a really good NFL player. If not, you know, Von Miller, you know, you might not get like one of the best pass rushers of the last 10 years, but you're going to get a good NFL player either way. And he's not going to be on the board at 6, I would think.
Hey, Tom, would you say that that Josh Allen is a better college player than Bud Dupree was? Because I feel like he is.
Oh, yeah. He's better than Bud Dupree was.
And Bud went in the middle, late first round. So yeah.
I guess my stigma is even, I mean, and this, I don't think that this is like a crazy notion for anybody to have, but it's sort of like the Kentucky, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, the Kentucky thing, is that stupid of me to be worried that because he came from Kentucky as opposed to, I don't know, somewhere that is, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to explain other than a stupid.
Jim Couch went to Kentucky, Brinson.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't be worried about that.
Yeah, they're playing against SEC talent. I think something to go along with that.
He's going against SEC tackles every week, and he had, what, 17 sacks? I think that's, you know, good sign.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you're right. Number five.
He'll manage probably when he gets to the next level.
I feel like people might have questions. They're like, Josh Allen, he's the third overall. Like, he's going top five. He's a lock. He's a blue chipper. And then people are like, well, is he? Is he good?
Would you rather be Josh Allen, Kentucky? Josh Allen, Wyoming.
Josh Allen, Wyoming, because he's a running back and a quarterback. Number five, Ryan on the clock. You are Jason Light. I would say congratulations on your success, but not so much.
What's that?
I'd say congratulations on your success, but not so much. Oh, yeah. So you're on the clock.
So look, Bruce Arians is there. Jameis Winston is staying, and they're going to be throwing bombs all day long. In order to do that, you got to protect Jameis. So they're taking Juwan Taylor. First offensive tackle off the board, first offensive lineman off the board, right tackle for Florida. He's a monster. And, I know they bring him back, Donovan Smith on the left and Damar Dotson on the right, but, neither of those guys are superstars, and Juwan Taylor has a chance to be a superstar.
I'm on the clock now, and I'll be honest, I don't know if I messed this up. I'll be curious what you guys think, but I traded down obviously as the Giants, or as the Raiders, excuse me, with the Giants. And the goal was, my thought process here was, okay, I'm at 4. If I move down to 6, there are 3 edge rushers that I think are going to be pretty good, or three impact defensive linemen that I think are going to be pretty good. I'm not entirely sure who I would want first between Josh Allen, Montez Sweat, and Ed Oliver. And I ended up going with Ed Oliver. He feels like a Raiders guy because of his high upside and his athleticism and all the hype surrounding him. Would I have been better off, do you think, Tom, going with Montez Sweat instead of Ed Oliver?
No. I mean, I think that Ed Oliver can – I think, honestly, Montez Sweat is very good at what he does, and we'll be getting to him later anyway. But he's more of a one-dimensional player. I think Ed Oliver – as far as skill and ability, and I know that the comparisons come because of the size and everything, but to me, as far as what he can do or what he is capable of doing, he's the most Aaron Donald-esque player in this draft. My only concern with him is he gets tired, he gets worn down during games, and at times he just seems like he might be taking plays off, and that could also be boredom because, you know, he was a 5-star recruit who went to Houston and played in the American, which isn't quite like playing in the SEC. You're playing against some scrubby dudes during the middle of conference season, and maybe he wasn't all that, you know, into it. But there were times where you just kind of questioned the effort level. That's really the only question I have about him. I think he's going to be a very solid, you know, defensive tackle in the NFL.
And Paul Gunther, I think, would be a good good coach for him as well. Gunther's done – I think he's done – he didn't do a great job last year, but the Raiders' defense was an absolute disaster. Tom, you are now on the clock as the Jacksonville Jaguars, Dave Caldwell. What are you going to do to help out your man Nick Foles?
You know, we got to get him some targets, but there's not really a receiver I love at this point to take this early. But I have an absolute unabashed man crush on tight end TJ Hockenson out of Iowa, and I think he would be a great fit for the Jaguars. not just because he can line up. He can line up outside as a receiver and, you know, run routes. He's not, he doesn't have the same kind of athletic traits as his teammate Noah Fant does, but I think he's a much better tight end, and he's definitely a much better inline blocker on the line. And I think that if you're the Jaguars, considering their identity and what they still prefer to do on offense, even with Nick Foles over Blake Bortles, when you got Fournette back there, that's going to have value with them. And I just think that he's a perfect fit for that offense, considering what they have and what they need.
I was a little bit mad about that, because I also was hoping that, that TJ Hockenson would be on the board. RJ, do you think we see a tight end go top 10, top five? In real life?
I think five is probably too high, but I think 10 is a pretty good spot for him. I think that would be still high that some people would think, but he seems like a good fit in Jacksonville, like Tom was saying. He would be a good fit for Detroit. You know, you could see Denver really, really liking him, and even Buffalo. So, I mean, any of those teams at the back end of the top 10 would be a good spot for him.
Well, 12, too, with Green Bay.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, in fact, the reason why on this next selection that I ultimately decided to trade out of the pick – with RJ, I am the Detroit Lions. We're talking about number 8 overall here. I'm the Lions. I was gonna take Hockenson, and I was hoping he was gonna be there. And then when Tom snaked him, I was willing to listen to a trade from RJ. And I gotta tell you, good offer. Bowled me over. You get number 8 overall. You're the Denver Broncos. John Elway. You can do your best John Elway impression if you want. You get number 8 overall and number 111 overall. And I, Bob Quinn, get number 10 overall and number 71 overall. So basically drop down 2 spots and move up 40 spots. Nice offer. I don't even think we had to have a counter on it. And I let you move into the number 8 spot, RJ, with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I'm not going to do an Elway impression, but I'm more than fine going down 40 spots, you know, in day 2 to day 3 to get up and get this quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. I think he's the type you want in terms of throwing from the pocket, and I think he's really going to fit well with Denver. I know they were connected to Drew Lock. You know, everybody says Elway's in love with Drew Lock, but I think when Haskins gets in that range, if he gets out of the top 7, I think it's worth paying this relatively small price to go up and get him. You know, he's a strong arm. He's not the most accurate deep passer, but I think he's going to shine in the middle of the field and hit those guys like, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Deshaun Hamilton and all those doing work over the middle of the field, and he's going to be good for that offense. So he probably doesn't start day 1. I think you still go with Flacco if Denver winds up with him, and then let him get comfortable. Obviously, he was a one-year starter at Ohio State, so maybe you do let him learn the offense a little bit before you throw him out there. But I think it's a good pick for the Broncos long-term, and that they finally have their quarterback.
Ryan. Plus, he could see over the line from under center, which is the most important thing for a quarterback, according to John Elway.
No
shotgun for Dwayne Haskins.
I thought you were firing shots at Kyler Murray, but you're accurately firing shots at John Elway, who has a very bizarre, like, fetish with tall quarterbacks, right? I mean, like, it's like Joe Flacco, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, all over 6'6", Tom.
Yeah, no, he loves tall guys that can't move.
So do you think
he also said that Joe Flacco at 34 years old is entering his prime.
Entering his prime, yes.
He's insane. He's lost his mind. He's reeling. He knows that nobody can
Everything
touch him.
Must go. That's my John Elway impression at the car dealership.
Tom, what are your thoughts on Haskins as a quarterback prospect as it relates to sort of the guys the last 2 years coming out of college and maybe the guys coming up in a couple of years?
I don't think I'd have him in my top. If you're including last year's QBs, I don't think he's in the top 3. Right. I think that in this class, he's one of the – I feel like this is a 2 quarterback class, and I think he's one of the 2. I think Murray's the other one. And when it comes to the 2 of them, I just look at – I think Haskins has a higher floor than Kyler Murray. I just don't think his ceiling is nearly as high as Murray's. And I think that he reminds me of Byron Leftwich more than anybody when I watch him play. He's not the kind of guy – he doesn't really want to move around in the pocket. And if you get pressure, particularly up the middle, he's in – you know, he really gets flustered and doesn't really have any kind of counter. But you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. If you get Tom Brady from the middle of the offensive line, he's not going anywhere either. So I don't think that's really a huge impediment, but I think he's got a strong arm. And like RJ was saying, I think he's very good over the middle of the field. Things get a little iffy once he goes outside the numbers and down the field. But – overall, I think he's a solid prospect, and I don't know if I want him starting right away either. I think that the kind of situation in Denver where they've got Flacco could be good for him, because he only did play that one season at Ohio State, and that's always kind of a question mark with these guys when you only see him for 1 year. They're quote-unquote football young still. So I think he could use a little more development, but I think that he's got a – you know, he's the potential to be a solid NFL starter.
The other thing I think that Haskins – I like this move by RJ/Elway is that if you're John Elway and you trade for Joe Flacco, you, and even if you're lying about him being in his prime, you can draft Dwayne Haskins and you extend, I think, the longevity of your own personal career inside, in Denver. Even, like, I don't know that he's going to get canned because he's John Elway and there's not really a solid ownership group in place, but the idea that you could say, all right, we're drafting Dwayne Haskins, but we want to let him sit and develop behind Joe, and you let Joe work for the next year, maybe 2 years, whatever it is, and that gives you a little bit of cushion in terms of not getting fired by, we'll see what happens with the ownership transition. Maybe Elway is just bulletproof because of
the helpful strategy.
What's his other strategy been with quarterbacks? He's been a disaster.
No, I don't disagree. It's just not working.
Well, right. But I mean, can't you see him doing that and being like, yeah, I've got this.
I don't know if he's worried about getting fired. I don't think he has to go through the motions of even doing that. Just do what you're doing. Keep finding 6-8 quarterbacks and see what happens.
It's like you're saying it's like Office Space where he's like pinning a fish up against, or like gutting a fish on his desk and nobody cares. In fact, they end up promoting him. Maybe so. We had another trade. My God, did I do all these trades or is this an RJ and Tom?
This one's me.
Yeah, but did you trade with RJ? RJ, were you Buffalo?
No, he traded with me.
Oh, Ryan, you did trade.
He tried to draft Dwayne Haskins twice, and we had to rectify that.
Yeah, I remember.
You're right. The Mike Tice of Vikings drafts.
The Mike Tice of Vikings drafts. I was who's the most likely coach or GM to be sitting there like pounding beer during the draft? If you had to pick one GM who's slamming beer and accidentally drafting a guy who's already been drafted, who would that be? Because that's me in this particular draft.
He's not even pounding beer. He's completely sober. It's John Gruden.
Gruden's a good choice. Who'd you say, Tom?
I was going to say Jerry Jones.
They left Jerry Jones in the closet during the draft.
Johnny Walker Blue. All right, so walk me through this trade between you two gentlemen. Tom, you moved up, so explain the offer you made to Ryan.
I'm the Packers. I was at number 12. I offered Ryan and the Buffalo Bills the number 9 and 181 picks for 12. I got number 9 and 181, and I gave Buffalo 12, 114, and 118. And I moved up because there was an edge rusher dropping that, you know, at number 12, I couldn't be 100% sure was still going to be there for me, and I thought there was value there. And if I'm the Packers, their pass rush wasn't awful last year, but it's just, you know, they don't have Clay Matthews coming back. They need to get younger and faster, particularly in their front seven and in linebacker core. And I saw Montez Sweat. That's who I made with the pick. And, you know, everybody at the combine was amazed by Montez Sweat's 40-yard time. And I knew he was fast. I was shocked he was as fast as he was in the 40. But my concern with him was his, you know, fluidity in his hips, because at times when I would watch the tape of him playing it at Mississippi State, he looked kind of stiff when it went to going left and right. But he performed well in, like, you know, the other drills, the cone drills and the shuttles. That was a good sign for me. It was a good sign to see him being able to perform that well in those drills. And I just think that right away, while he's still going to need some work in the run game being a run stopper, but for the Packers to just, they could start him day one, and he's going to improve that pass rush for them, and he's going to give them a, you know, serious problem in a division where they've got to deal with the Vikings and the Bears now too. You know, it's not the same Packers running things anymore.
Mm. I like it. It's a good move, and you're right, because I was planning. I'm at 10. I was hoping with the Lions after trading down, I was thinking I was going to get Montez Sweat. And when you took him, it panicked me. I was sitting there drinking beer, not paying enough attention, clearly. And that's when I tried to draft Dwayne Haskins for the second time. I like the Sweat. I don't think Sweat's getting out of the top 10, right? Do you, RJ, don't you think he's a lock for the top 10 based on how he performed at the combine?
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a lock. You know, I don't think people are moving themselves too much on the combine. You know, you can get some attention there. I think he's definitely a lock for like the top 15. But I would be surprised if he went higher than say 5, you know, but I wouldn't be that surprised if he slipped out of the top 10 a little bit. Thinking about the fit with the Packers, I know they did signs at Arius Smith and Preston Smith. You know, they made some big moves to try to help that pass rush. But like I said, with the Bosa pick, you can never have too many pass rushers. And if you do have things to work on with Montez Sweat, like Tom was saying, he can work on them. You know, you can get him in a defined edge rush role, immediately rotate in, and then he builds himself into a complete player that you end up signing and moving on from, like a Preston Smith, you know, down the road.
All right, and then left at 10. I feel like I do this pick in like every single mock draft, but I can't get away from it. I end up giving the Detroit Lions Rashawn Gary, who people complain, Tom, you're a Big Ten guy. People complain he doesn't have enough production, and that's who I drafted at number 10 overall. Your local product, it just kind of fits. It feels – now, we did this draft, I guess, before they had signed Trey Flowers. I still don't care. They need more edge rush help. But now if you have – you know, you have Rashawn Gary, you have Deshaun Hand, you have Damon Harrison, you have Trey Flowers. All of a sudden, you're cooking with gas. Do you think Gary is a guy that can achieve over what he did in college, Tom?
Yes, because I hated the way Michigan used him. Mm. This is a dude who, like, you know, he's labeled. If you look at everything in the draft, he's labeled as an edge rusher. I mean, Michigan was essentially using him as a defensive tackle filling a gap. And I felt like with his talented abilities, now, based on what Don Brown does with his defense, it made perfect sense to have Gary there because he had other guys he could use in the way that they played. It's just Rashawn Gary's skill set is a lot more well-rounded than what Michigan was asking him to do. Now, at times, could you question whether he was disruptive enough in the middle of the line? Yes, but I just don't know if that's really what he's best at. I think if you line him up at defensive end or even, you know, at an outside linebacker sometimes in a 3-4 kind of situation, I think that he's a good enough athlete where he could wreak a lot of havoc as a pass rusher.
Interesting. All right, so is 10 too early for him, Ryan? Or can you see Gary go? Is Gary going to go this high in this draft?
No, he's insanely athletic, and Tom's exactly right. Like, I've talked to people close to him, and they complain about how poorly he was used at Michigan. And even when he was on the edge rushing, a lot of times his only job was to occupy the tackle, no inside moves to allow people behind him to make plays. So the NFL teams just have to figure out how did they convert that athleticism into, you know, consistent edge rush. And, yeah, if he's not better than he was in college, he should probably be a fifth or sixth round pick. But he blew it up at the combine, which didn't surprise anybody in terms of the 40 time and his measurables. Just a matter of how do you translate that and what we rarely saw at Michigan onto the field. But he's a top 10 talent. Just a matter of finding it.
All right. So we're going to take, we're going to split off the draft here, and we'll come back tomorrow for people listening and do 11 through 20. But just to recap, Arizona 1, Kyler Murray, San Francisco 2, Nick Bosa. The Jets take Quinnen Williams at 3. Josh Allen taken by the Giants, who trade up with Oakland to take him at 4. The Buccaneers stand pat and take Jawan Taylor, offensive tackle out of Florida, at number 5. The Raiders take Ed Oliver from Houston at number 6. TJ Hockenson, tight end to the Jaguars, at number 7. Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, goes to the Denver Broncos, who trade up to get him at 8. Montez Sweat in a trade up to the Packers at 9. And then Rashawn Gary to the Detroit Lions at 10. We'll be back tomorrow for the next set of this mock draft.